time I'm at it. By God's grace and mercy, and only God's grace and mercy, I stand here today with 15 years clean. I need to tell you, I'm a guy that used for almost 30 years in active addiction. I used everything. You name it, I used it. What I want to do is, like, I want to first thank this area, this Lower Howland area, Spiritual Retreat or Retreats Committee, for taking a risk and asking me to share. I didn't come up here to share. I come up here just to take a break from what I do. I work in treatment. I work with addicts. I work with criminals. And I haven't taken a break for myself in a long time. You know, and I want to thank all y'all who is here who have refreshing me. You know what I'm saying? Because I get drained on any given day. You know what I'm saying? But I'm refreshed. I thank you, brothers and sisters from Buffalo. I thank all y'all, wherever y'all come from, for just being here for me. I need to let y'all know, without y'all, there is no me. I can't do this by myself, and that was made real clear in early recovery. I just caught on to, like, the second half of the topic, like the 8-step forgiveness. That's something that, like, I struggle with. I do a little better today than I did in the past. I'm the guy that always brings literature to the table, because I don't want to get lost in me, because I can have you somewhere that, you know, they ain't got nothing to do with this. So I always bring this literature with me, you know, like to verify what I'm talking about. It's funny, I went over my fourth and eighth step about a month ago up on Mount Washington back home in Pittsburgh, and because I had done it a while back, but I found it about 3 or 4 months ago, and I had told another one of my support guys, I want to go over the step with you. These steps, and I did. Because, like, there's always some stuff that I can need to be refreshed about. I can know some stuff, but, like, on any given day, I can forget that it's even there. So, like, I'm the guy that did a lot of writing in recovery. I used to journal at every meeting. I would have my little book, my little notebook. I got writings and papers everywhere. Everywhere I've been in these last 15 years. I'm 58 years old. I come from a family of 9. I got 3 other brothers and 5 sisters. I'm the 3rd oldest. I come up in a single family household with my mother. I never really remember my father and dad being in the same household together. I knew who my dad was, but that was about it. And I never even realized that had some kind of effect on my journey until I got to recovery. I didn't think it was out of order. I was raised in a speakeasy. My great-great-grandfather ran a speakeasy. I lived in an Italian-Polish neighborhood, so I really didn't identify with my own people until I got to elementary school. I was 7, 8, 9 years old. You know what I'm saying? So, and I'm saying that to say, I've never had a problem with race. You know what I mean? I've never struggled with racism. That stuff never, you know, affected me. You know what I mean? Even though, I mean, I've learned more. God has revealed a lot of things to me. The past is the past. I try to stay out of the past because sometimes resurrecting the past for me can cause more harm to me and others than even looking at it. You know what I'm saying? Let the dead bury the dead and, like, keep moving. You know, I always read just for today, every day. Some people say they can get by without reading the literature. I ain't one of them guys. I need to read just for today just to get an idea where Tommy's at. Because on any given day, I'm not sure to share where you're at. I don't know. All I know, I'm in the Narcotics Anonymous meeting. All I know, I'm around people like me. But where I'm at for real, who knows? You know? But today's topic was talking about don't look back. It says the steps offer a big change from a life dominated by guilt and remorse. Our futures are changed because we don't have to avoid those who we have harmed as a result. We receive a new freedom that can end isolation. For a long time, in recovery. Now, when I was using, I was around everybody, ways and means. But when I got clean, I sort of like started like to distance myself. You know what I mean? At any given period. And like, but I had to come to the difference between isolation and meditation, because there's a difference when you're isolating or when you're meditating or trying to get somewhere, get in contact or wherever you need to get in contact with. But it says, many of us come to Narcotics Anonymous full of regrets about our past. Our steps help us begin to remove these regrets. We examine our lives and admit our wrongs and make amends for them and sincerely try to change our behavior. In doing so, we find a joyous sense of freedom. No longer must we deny or regret our past. Once we made our amends, what's done is truly over and gone. From that point on, where we come from ceases to be the most important thing about us. It's where we're going that counts. I want to know where we're going. I want to know where this brother's going. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, I perceive and I hear and I'm always taking in everything, but yet still, I'm the guy that sometimes need to know. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, I mean, some days, like, I'm not trying to trust everybody's perception. I'm not trying to just believe just because I hear it said. I need to know, and with me, I'm the type of guy, if I'm not feeling it within here, you might have a problem with me. I have to some kind of way sense my inner being, my inner spirit, telling me, like, this is all right. Because it also tells me this ain't all right. See, I know the difference between right and wrong. You know what I mean? I know the difference between sunshine and it's raining. I know the difference. I know the difference between God's presence and somebody else's presence. You know what I'm saying? But I did an A-step at an early age. I did A-step, I think, my second year clean. By the time I got clean in 94, let me back up. I came around here in 1982. I didn't stop using until 1994. I wasn't hearing none of the readings. I wasn't taking no suggestions, no sponsor, no home group. You know what I'm saying? No basic tests, no literature. You know what I mean? No staying away from people, places, and things. I wasn't done. I would come to meetings high or either knowing I was going to get high after the meeting. You know what I'm saying? One or two. I wasn't done. I was coming for the wrong reason. It wasn't for me. When I came here in 94 for about the fifth time, I really wasn't planning on staying. I was living in Virginia. I had a decent job. I was living in a brand new house. You know what I'm saying? But something happened. You know what I'm saying? I was sort of like tricked into coming in here for real to stay. For real. For real. I was dope fiend in here. Because it was never my intention. When I come home from Virginia to take a break, it wasn't to go to rehab. I'd been coming to Narcotics Anonymous for years, but never been to a treatment center. People had been telling me for years, you need to go to treatment. And when I finally got dope fiend into going, I heard stuff in treatment I never heard before. And for some reason, I stayed. I wanted to know more and more and more. And like, thank God, I got a sponsor that time. And when I got the sponsor, I allowed this guy to direct me. I did everything he told me to do. I bought the literature he told me to buy. I bought the tapes he told me to buy. I went to the meetings he told me to go to. He would hem us up all in his little truck. Every other day, he had a little one of them hippie trucks with flowers and shit all on it. You know what I'm saying? And he would have all the sponsors together with our basic texts and our literature at least three times a week. And I need to say, when I came in 94, everybody had basic texts. And I'm sharing that to say, if you're new, get you a book. We can give you some good information, but the program of Narcotics Anonymous is in the literature. We will fail you with our best interests at heart. We will hurt you. That's why I bring literature to the podium. You understand what I'm saying? Because I may tell you anything. You know what I mean? But step eight, we made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. When I made this list, it took me about maybe 2 weeks. I had about a sack of papers, you know, like them big yellow notebook papers. I had names about like this, right? I was putting people on the list who was dead. A lot of my partners who had died on this journey, who are no longer here, I had their names on it. And when I got tired of writing, I went back and read it again. It says, we made a list of all persons. When I seen the word all, I put down everybody. I'm done. Because I still been writing. Because what I know now is like everybody I come in touch with, I harm. Some kind of way, indirect or, non-indirect, I harmed. You know what I mean? So, but one thing I didn't do, I didn't put my name on the list. My sponsor had to send me back over the list, and I don't know why. I don't know why. He said, you missed something. Come to find out it was me. So what makes me think that I wasn't worth being forgiven? What makes me think that I shouldn't be willing to make amends to me? I've always been the type of guy, what you do, me helping you, has always been more important than me. And that's the God's truth. It's always been more important to me to have a couple extra dollars in the bank just in case someone needed something. Brother, sister, kids, one of y'all. I have bought many a young lady's Christmas toys. I don't know if they're man or woman. I've done stuff like that. I have done stuff that I would not tell my sponsors to do today. You know what I mean? Because I'm the type of guy that, like, if I think a little bit of my hard-earned money will help you get another day clean, I'm going to give you the money. You call it what you want. I've done that. I don't do it often no more. But that's what I used to do. Because I believed in the therapeutic value of an addict helping another. I wanted everybody to get this. You know what I'm saying? When, by the time I got to 8, I had so many spiritual awakenings and resurrections, it scares the hell out of me. So it wasn't even no problem about God. I knew all about God. Because he scares me. That's why I carry myself the way I do. I try to be humble, obedient. I try to be open-minded, listen to other people, willing to help another person. I try. And on any given day, if I'm not quite sure what's going on, I'm going to talk to you in your ear because you may tell me what I need to hear. See, I don't trust me too long by myself. An addict alone is in bad company. Some of us need to be accounted for. Some of us need to be watched. So they need to track some of our ass, even to the day. And that's the truth. That's God's truth. We need to be watched. I fit the literature. You know what I'm saying? I fit the literature. So I need to check in on a daily basis or every other day. You know what I mean? Whether I want to or not. Ain't nothing got to be wrong. I found out my 5th year using. I'm picking up my 5th year anniversary, TK. I don't need a reason. Ain't nothing got to be wrong for me to take a walk. I can be sitting up on top of the world and go cop. That's what kept me here. That scared me. A little voice told me inside, well, you ain't nothing to be wrong. Money, property, and prestige. You know what I'm saying? Ain't nothing got to be wrong, man. I can be in the White House and go cop. You know what I'm saying? So, but like, I truly believe that this step is about identifying who I harm and what part I play. You know what I mean? Preparing myself. It talks about in here to make the list as if the 9th step don't exist. It doesn't say make amends. It says become willing to make a list to admit my part to the people that I've harmed. Don't say nothing about making no amends. A lot of us get a little mixed up with that. You know what I mean? That's God's job. You understand what I'm saying? It says, by the time we reach this step, we have become ready to understand rather than be understood. But I'm the guy, every now and then, I want to understand. But sometimes I feel like I need to be understood. You see what I'm saying? I don't feel like it should be always about me understanding everybody else, and no one seems to identify what the hell I'm talking about. I need some identification sometimes from one of y'all, too. And a lot of times, I may share some stuff, and nothing comes back. I used to go to meetings with this honest stuff, and I'd tell everything. And when I wouldn't get no answers, I'd go to other meetings. No answers. I would get angry. I'd turn the meeting out. They called my sponsor. They called me. Come get him. What's wrong with him? Because I thought y'all was supposed to tell me the answers. But I found out you can only put me on the path. You can only give me the suggestion to go get what I'm looking for. Because most of the stuff I'm looking for is spiritual in nature and it's internal. I didn't know y'all didn't have all the answers. Yeah, I would lose it because I'm doing everything they told me. Just like in boot camp. Everything they told me, that's what I did. I didn't ask no questions because I didn't trust me. I knew my track record. Based on the evidence, I knew my decision-making had a problem. I couldn't afford another run. You know what I'm saying? I didn't plan to stay anyway. But I knew if I didn't try this time, it was over. Whatever that meant, it was over. But it talks here about we need to be honest before we can make an accurate list. Got to be true to my own self. My sponsors always tell me, be true to your own self and remain teachable. Never lie to you, even if it hurts. But I'm the guy that for years I would lie to me to make sure y'all was all right. Yeah. And when I say y'all, I mean everybody. I'm talking about this is before Narcotics Anonymous. This was before I got any information, before any step work, before any spiritual awakenings. You know what I mean? Because I've had a lot of strange shit happen to me since I've been here that I ain't told nobody because it scared me. But it talks about in the literature that like, we will go through some things that's unexplainable. And I have been through some of them things that's been unexplainable. So I stopped talking about it because my sponsor people tell me I'm scaring people. Because I thought y'all knew too. I'm figuring, oh, you really listen to me. I come in, nobody else saying nothing. It's a we program, right? We do recover. So, it says the damage may be caused by something that is said or done or left undone. My problem Is this something that I said or left undone? Or is this something that somebody in my family tree done left, said, or undone? Because some days I get to fielding whatever God wants me to do got something to do with somebody in my past. It ain't got nothing to do with me. It's either something my dad, my granddad, my uncle, somebody in my family tree was supposed to do something, and they never done it, so I'm left. And all them died from addiction and alcoholism. All my males, my dad, my uncles, my grandfather, my great-great-grandfather, they all died from the disease of addiction, and none of them made it to Narcotics Anonymous or any other anonymous. You understand what I'm saying? The disease buried them all. They never identified with the problem. So God has given me a chance to identify, to find out the truth about the disease of addiction. If you don't find out about the disease of addiction, it's going to be a long road. Well, I needed to know what I was up against. You know what I mean? It talks about in our literature serving a lower power and a higher power. I need to know about that lower power. I can't afford to be walking around here blindfolded with the lights out. I'm a dangerous guy with the lights out. You understand what I'm saying? I need to see where I'm going. But I need y'all to see. Most of the time, it's y'all are my lights, whether you know it or not. I follow people. I follow people that means they don't even know I'm following them. I used to follow certain people to meetings early, and I still do sometimes. Because it would seem like they would always share something that I needed to hear. So I'm thinking God talking to them about me. So I'd follow them. You know, I was willing to do whatever it had to take to stay clean this time. My sponsor used to always ask me, what are you willing to do to stay clean? What are you willing to give up to stay clean? All right, surrender to the drug. Okay. Surrender to the lifestyle, people, places, and things. Okay. But he didn't say nothing about moving out that new house, taking back the new car, giving up that job, and just walking away one day and coming home to Pittsburgh and not going back and not telling the people that you quit. He didn't say nothing about that. He didn't say nothing about giving up them girlfriends that don't belong to you. He didn't say nothing about that. There's a lot of stuff that wasn't said that I did because that's the way my spirit directed me. I didn't know why I walked away from that stuff. But as I stayed here and did some work, I found out why. Because that kind of stuff distracts me from week 12, 11th step. You know what I mean? When you get there, you're just talking about really finding out about, you know what I mean, God, as you understand him, what he wants from you. I need to know what he wants from me. You see what I'm saying? I need to know. And most of the days I do know. It says we must separate what was done to us from what we did to others. I must recognize my part and leave the other part alone. By the time you get to the eighth step, I got to the eighth step, I was woke. I wasn't asleep no more. My spirit's wide awake all the time. Even though it may seem like it ain't, my spirit's always woke. Even in my street. Sleep. Let something happen. Wake it up. You'll find out if he's woke or not. You know what I'm saying? Let something happen. Really, that I know is against spiritual principles, and you'll find out. That's why I'm so low key. Because I don't know. I found out my spirit don't need my permission to do nothing. I don't know. All I know is there, and it's woke, and it's real live and kicking. You know, and another thing that scares me, I don't know how far it goes. When I was a kid, I used to always want to go to this place called Primatuni. There's a place in Pennsylvania. And my little Italian and Polish kid, my friends, they used to always go to Primatuni every summer. And they would come back and tell me about this place called Primatuni. The trees and the path. I'm serious. And I would always want to go, man. You know what I'm saying? Never got to go. This is a Primatuni. You know what I'm saying? I'm from the city. I've been living in the city all my life, other than when I was in Virginia about 5 or 6 years. You know what I mean? I get tired of the city. That hustle and that bustle and all that crass dummy shit. I really do, man. So I got to withdraw myself because it discerns my spirit sometimes. And I got to get out of the way because I will react. Remind you, I work in a jail. Been there for almost 11, 12 years now. I see inmates every day. I see what goes on in jail. But on any given day, I can be in jail doing the group and feel more comfortable in jail than out here. What the hell is that all about? You identify that shit. I go do groups some days and ain't for them. It's for me. They put me back in check. You know what I'm saying? But any time I can share what I just shared, something's wrong. Something is awfully wrong. You know what I mean? But hey, break time. Play spades. Play chess. Hey, Bible study. You know what I'm saying? At least I know where I'm at. You know what I mean? I can deal with 100. I can deal with 100. Easy. No problem. But out here, I just don't know sometimes. But I know there's a reason for everything. Don't get me wrong. But some days, man, like, I just need to remove myself from everything. That's why I came up here. You know what I mean? I brought one of my partners up here who's speaking too, but I came up here just to get away, and I needed to. I needed to connect with some different people. I needed a new fresh air. You know what I mean? So, you know what I mean? People in recovery can only give you what they got. Always remember that. If I'm not going to meetings like you, and if I'm not working the steps, and if I'm not praying, and if I'm not trying to do this thing the way it's supposed to be done, I can't help you with so much. And you're doing the things I just said. You don't want to come ask me for too much or nothing. You know what I mean? I want to follow the guy that's doing what the program is talking about. I'll listen to you. You know what I'm saying? I mean, hey, I can go back by myself if it comes to that. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I just need to know sometimes. We must separate what we've done to us and others. We cut away our justifications and ideas of being a victim. We often feel that we only harmed ourselves, yet we usually list ourselves last. I didn't list myself at all. So what's up with that? I missed this part. We usually list ourselves last. I thought I had read it thoroughly. And it's a short step. It's one of the shortest steps in the book. If at all, this step is doing the legwork to repair the wreckage of our lives. It will make us feel better to clean up our lives by relieving ourselves of guilt. By writing our list, we can no longer deny that we caused harm. We made our list, taken from the fourth step, because a lot of my stuff come right from the fourth step that I just did again not too long ago. You know what I mean? And, you know, it says, projections about actually making amends can be a major obstacle, both in making the list and in becoming willing. We do this step as if there were no ninth step. So what I'm saying to you is, basically, I might say a little stuff out of order, but it's in here. I got it out of here. I got it from other predecessors in recovering addicts. I'm not saying nothing new. I've learned it from the people who've been here before me and who taught me. I've been taught well. I really don't have no excuse to anything I do. On any given day, 99% of the time, I know exactly what I'm doing. I know if I'm trying to lean towards God's will, or I know Tommy done showed up, or I know Addict Man done showed up. I can't no longer blame people placing the things. I can't blame you. I can't blame the powers to be or the government, although I don't like them. But I'm telling you, when I go, I know exactly where I'm going. What I'm thinking, what I'm really praying for, what I'm really, because I'm the guy that'll test the water. Because I've always been the guy that would always go see. You know what I mean? I dare you do this, I dare you do that. I dare you go burn the hillside down, no problem. See, that's part of my story I haven't shared about people, with people. I used to do a lot of crazy stuff as a kid, man. A lot of stuff. You know what I mean? But, you know, but, I'm going to read this, and I'm going to let my man get up here. It talks about the main thing this step does for us is to help us build awareness. And has it ever built my awareness? My awareness, man, scares me. They want to put me on medication. Yeah. They want to put me on medication, man. Because of my awareness level, and I won't let them. I tried it, didn't work. That little by little, we are gaining new attitudes about ourselves and how we deal with other people. You know what I mean? But like, I practice a lot about dealing with other people, but I need to practice how to deal with me. See, I'm my worst nightmare. I ain't got nothing to do with nobody else. It's my perception, my ideas, how I perceive stuff. That's why I need to bounce stuff off of y'all. I'm always searching for, like, you know, make sure I'm on the path. Our futures are changed because we don't have to avoid those we have harmed. And I have harmed a lot of people. I've been in a lot of jackpots, we call them. I've had guns pulled on me. I've been taking abandoned houses with crowbars. Day-to-day, and I've been, you know. So I know. But I can see these guys today, and, you know, ain't no problem. But that don't mean I ain't watching them. See, You know what I mean? We don't. We do recover. We don't go to sleep. You know. At least we know that we are no longer intentionally making life miserable for other people, and that's something I try not to do. On any given day, maybe my little anger might show up about something, and I may not know where it's coming from. So since it showed up, okay, let me see who I can mess with today. Because, see, I'm aware. I know how to cause some stuff. I know how to create some stuff. I know how to back you up. I know when it's orange or red or either yellow, like the codes that they give us. I know all the time. I know when I stuck my finger, man, in the pot. And God will say, what is you doing? He speaks to me like that. Boy, if you don't sit your little monkey ass down. He talks to me like that. And I say, yes, sir. Y'all think I'm kidding, but this is the God's truth. That's how my spirit, that's how he deals with me. Just like that. Just like I said it. So he talks to me. And I obeyed it. Yes, sir. Because my fear is, it ain't so much of using, which I got a fear going back. But my fear is the fear is unknown. And I know this power, this God, he exists. I know it. You know what I mean? And you know what I mean? And it just scares me. So I don't want to be the one to tip the apple cart. But sometimes I do want to be the one to tip the apple cart. Yeah. Ain't shit. I mean, based on the evidence, you know, I don't see nothing else changing. So sometimes I think, you know, I'm supposed to change something. But even at that, I want to do it the way God wants it to done. I don't want to change nothing on somebody else's expense. You know what I mean? Let the past be, although it was done over here, and I'm like, hey. You know what I mean? It's the new day. You know what I mean? Right? I want to thank y'all for letting me share. And I probably really needed to share. You know what I mean? Because sometimes it's important to me to let y'all know where I'm at. You know what I mean? I don't like people guessing where I'm at. That's a bad move. I don't like guessing where you at. If we're trying to do this thing called recovery, and we're supposed to trying to help one another, you understand what I'm saying? I don't need to be guessing where you at. I need to know. If I'm letting you drive me down the car, you know what I mean, down the road in your car, I need to know where you at. You know what I mean? Anybody can drive. Will can drive. But you know where Will end up at. Will get everybody messed up. You know what I mean? Self-will. You know what I'm saying? But I want to thank y'all for letting me share. If I said anything to harm any of y'all, it's nothing intentional. It's got nothing to do with anything you've done. You know what I mean? I'm just sharing basically where I'm at to free me up. Because what I'm aware of, like, if I'm looking for someone else to really tell me what I need to hear or what I need to share, I may not never hear it. So sometimes I share stuff just to hear myself share it, right or wrong, so I can get some help. You know what I'm saying? And that's all I wrote. But like, ain't anybody tell you that they love you today, let me be the first.
Tommy, for sharing. Our second speaker is going to share on the Eighth Tradition. Please welcome Nate from the Winner's Circle.
My name is Nate. And first and foremost, I'd like to thank you for inviting me up here and taking a risk, because I've never been up here before. And my home group is the Winners Group, Narcotics Anonymous. And I'm from Lancaster, PA. And, wow, he did a really good job. And a whole lot of that stuff I need to hear. And what I'm sharing on this Eighth Tradition is, I'm like real nervous now. All of a sudden, I was just calm. I'm sitting back there. I'm just chilling. You know, can't even remember what the reading is. I get up and I get like this every single time, and I know the reason why, because I don't want you to know me. I like flying under the radar, because that way you can't harm me anymore. You know, because like what he was sharing about, man, my fear is like when, because I'm a very emotional guy, but I don't show it, right? It hurts. But I don't have the courage to tell you how much. So as I keep coming back, man, I find out what my strengths and liabilities and weaknesses are. And especially like being in service, because this, the Eighth Tradition is like, it says, Innate Narcotics Anonymous shall remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. And I have this pamphlet. Professionals did this. This is some of the stuff that we don't have time to do. We take it for granted sometimes that, you know, this stuff is just going to be readily available. This book. Professionals. We don't have time to go print all our material, take up all the stuff. I just want concepts. I got that book here. There's some things that... Then we have special workers. Because experience is highly valued in Narcotics Anonymous. And once we become a member... Because once you get to the eighth edition, there's some things that you bring with you anyway. Like humility, integrity. You bring some experience. Because a lot of times, like with special workers, we talk about home group members, we talk about people that serve in areas and regions and worlds and stuff like that, that volunteer their time. But when we get to the point when their volunteering comes in direct conflict to what we can actually provide, prudence becomes a major issue. Because now we need to actually get somebody who can just take care of this for us so we can just move on. Because funding in Narcotics Anonymous is one of the elements in it. Because the eighth tradition covers it encompasses, even though it's one of the shortest ones, it encompasses all our services. Because it requires us to do everything. We're talking about funding. We're talking about dealing with people inside and outside of the fellowship. We're talking about, because the worst people to deal with is when we deal with each other. And a lot of times, man, special workers or people with experience are highly valued because when we're dealing with some people, right, I need to know, in the first and second tradition, what it talks about, bringing a God along with you in the process. That means that I've done some things, right, to get me somewhere so I can actually step back and allow myself to think, you know, so I don't act out on my first reaction. Because a lot of times, man, when I'm presented with a problem, a lot of times, the group has delegated me the authority to carry out what their wishes are. And I have to remember a lot of days that it's not what I think is best. It's what you delegate to me to think is best. Because I might have a different take on whatever it is that we're looking at. But then again, we have to come back to the eighth concept, right, where it talks about... Because so much of the stuff is so connected in the concepts, and then we really, really need them. It talks about, it says, regular communication plays a large part in the fulfillment of our NA group's final responsibility and authority for NA services. Through their GSRs, the groups regularly report their strengths, needs, ideals, and conscience to the service structure. Taken together, these group reports give our service boards and committees clear guidance in their efforts to serve NA as a whole. When the groups are regularly given full and accurate information from all elements of the service structure, they become familiar with the structure's normal patterns of activity. The groups are then able to recognize when something goes wrong with one of our service boards and committees and are in better position to know how to help correct the problem. And in the eighth tradition, it goes in here, we further exercise humility when we recognize that sometimes we need professionals to help us fulfill our services. We place great emphasis on the therapeutic value of one addict helping another, sometimes to the extent that we are reluctant to hire professional assistance when we need it. And that's what I was talking about. Sometimes it becomes a conflict when somebody does a service really, really well, right? And they're volunteering their time, and I'll abuse that. Where I actually need to go outside of, you know, of that responsibility and get a professional to actually handle that chore. And a lot of times, because it becomes a conflict, especially when you're a professional. Say we have secretaries and we have lawyers, we have doctors, and I'm glad that none of those names become one of those things that that direct us. I'm going to give you a good example. It's my home group, right? We used to meet in the basement of this one church, and the pastor had started coming down. He wanted us, because we were meeting in his church, he wanted us to come up and participate on this Saturday service. Right? He wanted one person to come up once a month and share. you know, some stuff. And it became a conflict. So what we did was we had a group conscience to move our group from there. Because it became, because he's not the final authority on our services. Because what we're doing is we're providing an atmosphere for the potential recovering addict to come through the door. So in fulfilling our primary purpose is because it talks about even in the fifth tradition, it says when all is said and done, all we have to give is ourselves. That means how much effort I put into whatever's going on in Narcotics Anonymous, not my personal life. Because once I mix the two, it becomes really confusing. It's like when the pastor came down there and he asked me to say something to my home. I was a GSR at the time. When I went to my home group, I didn't go to them about what he said to me. I'm going down there because he believed that we need to come up and do something for him. That's not how it works. We paid our rent. We do our service. We do all the stuff that we were supposed to do. And then we moved the meeting from there. Then 2 years later, now they want another meeting there. But there's never one went back there. And that's some of the stuff. And like special workers. Say like, because sometimes we abuse some of the services that we actually have. It's like our area meets in a church, right? We rent space. And see, a lot of times we don't view it that way, but then they went and bought this huge locker. Right? Big. They went and got a guy, the contractor, and they paid him to put it together. But they never asked the church for storage. Do you understand? We can't just take services, just assume that we can just do whatever we want without paying our way. So when I brought it up to the group and to everybody else, because that lone voice out there might be a voice of reason, it's not something that we want to hear, you'll be thinking, oh man, he's against all the stuff we're doing. No, we need to pay our way. We need to pay rent for where that big locker is sitting. Because all our literature and everything else, and it's stored there all year round, inside their facility where everybody can see it. And everybody looked at me, so they went to the pastor, and he saw, y'all can just have that space. But there again, see, we're riding off our name. We're taking free services for something to where we actually should be. And they don't pay for it. It's like, you know. And I took it kind of personal at the time because I believe that we should pay rent. It's a huge locker. It'll fit this space. Sitting down in their facility. But they don't agree with me. Effective leadership is when, in spite of all things that are going on and all the things that are happening around me, I need to sometimes step back and take a serious look at how we're operating, how effective is what we're doing. Are we making the meetings available to the next addict, the potential addict that could come through the door? And I heard earlier in one of the meetings where she was like a fourth tradition where people don't do inventories of the process. And accountability in the second and third concept becomes a major issue with a whole lot of our services because we don't actually go back and actually see how effective they really are. And because of that, right, our services start failing down the road, and we'll wonder why. Y'all got a really cute thing here, and what did I do with it? I put it in my pocket. And this is one of the things that happened. It looks nice. What did I do with them? Anybody got those little cards with them? This is one of the things that happens to our services. All right? This is now approved literature of Narcotics Anonymous. So now if everybody likes them, we all start copying them. Guess what? The fellowship loses as a result of this. But nobody can see that right now. Because once you start passing all these out and they get into the wrong hands, they be looking at them. They're trying to spread their wealth with these cards. But you might not look at it that way. I think they're cute. But that's some of the stuff that we need to take an inventory of. It's like the little books that go around. Stuff like that. You know, it's really, when they're passing them out, I'm like, oh man, I can use this at work. I can put it in my car. But guess what? When I get my literature list at my home group, it's not on there. We're talking about inventorying the process, seeing some of the stuff that we're doing, even though it looks nice, who's going to be the one out there to say, okay, man, we can't be doing this. Even though I like it. I like those little books. I'd love to have one down in my thing and in my glove compartment. They don't take up a lot of space. But guess what? We have guidelines. We have all kind of stuff that we violate as a result of it. They talk about the internal and external forces that could destroy us. Some of the things that we do that we think that are okay, but we shouldn't be doing, but we do them anyway. And a lot of people won't like me as a result of like showing you those little courage just now, but that's okay. I sleep well at night. I do. And because I don't take it personal. Drew was asking me something else about service. We were sitting up yesterday. He said, I got a question for you. And the secretary, right, we meet regularly in the area, you know, because the groups don't have the time to do the service. So what we do is we create service boards and committees directly responsible for those they serve. You hear what I said? Directly responsible to those they serve. Sometimes we make house motions that should actually go back so the groups can effectively know what we're doing that affects them directly. But we'll create a house motion. I'll give you a good example. The secretary gets a prudent reserve, $90 a month. All right, it's in policy. They send it back to the groups. The groups approved it. They got it back in there. It's been in policy for years. But now since we've added 6 more groups to our area, she needs more money. Everybody understands that. So what they do is they put in a motion for $120. So everybody in the group, they says, when it's time to do the vote, everybody puts their hand up. Me, put it. Oh, now you're supposed to get two opposing views and two views that I agree with it or whatever. And I'm still nervous. And so me and another lady, we had opposing views. So they took two yay, two pros, two cons. So they did two pros, and everybody's in there, yeah, we need to do this $120 motion. 10 is to make sure the secretary has enough money to meet the needs of Eric. Okay, fine. Melina goes first, says, you know, the body's out of order, $120, you know, it's out of line. And then they go in, they look, say, okay, yeah, that's fine. And so now it's my turn. I put my hand up. Policy chair says, what you need, Nate? I said, look, we're out of order here. The way you design this motion is out of order. He said, no, it's not. Read it. I said, did you just, you know, policy chair reviewed and said everything was fine on there? So I asked him a question. I says, okay, since you're the policy chair, what's in the policy for the secretary? He says, $90. I says, what did the motion say? He says, $120. I says, what did the motion say? $120. She'll need 30. I know y'all didn't get that, right? But I got it sitting there. That's what I'm saying. Sometimes that lone voice, everybody's like, oh, there he go again with his shit. I'm serious. That's what they said. That's the first thing they say because they made a motion for $120 when they already have a $90 proven reserve already, which makes $210. But everybody quickly just puts their hand up without even, that's where our services sometimes are very affected that way, because a whole lot of times we'll just go along with everybody else without actually even using our experience. Just go along with them. Okay, everybody's doing it, I'm doing it too. But I'm actually listening, because that's what my group sends me there for, to listen, to make sure that our money is spent prudently, that it's used effectively, so that the services that we provide, right, I want accountability. It talks about it in the second concept. That when we put that basket and we pass it around, we pass that money down to you, that you use it effectively. You use it how you're supposed to. So when I'm sitting there, I'm going to do my part. I'm not just going to disagree with you just because it sounds good. And a lot of times our services get affected because people just agree with stuff without even doing the actual legwork. Another thing they did, they wanted to print this up for everybody. That's prudent. Now, if you're a GSR or you're a chairperson in my area, why do I need to print this up for you? You should already have this. Mm-hmm. We show up. And half the people that was there, we have 33 groups in the area, half the people that was there don't even have a 12 concept book. It's a guide to service. you don't have one of those, how are you doing service? How do you be held accountable? How do you hold other people accountable? And as I keep coming back, man, and it talks about, see, the hard part for me, right, is, where is it? When it talks about the NA group exercise humility when it does not pretend to be anything more or less than it is. We do not claim to be professionals or experts in anything. We are not psychiatrists, physicians, or therapists. We are recovering addicts. All we offer is a collective practice, practical experience in getting clean and learning to live clean. The value of our program comes from the identification and trust that exists between one addict and another. So when I go sit there, I trust that you have the experience when you show up, right, to be an effective leader. But a lot of times in our service structure, what will happen is you'll get a real popular person that come up and vote for a position because I know you and I like you, right? I don't question you. So, you know, you want to get the treasurer's position. Well, there's a lot of money in there every month, right? You write bad checks. I know because I'm your friend. I've seen you bounce a whole lot of them suckers. What you going to do when you fall short next month with our money? Those are the questions I need to ask. That's what effective leadership is. Those are the qualities that we look for in individuals. And that's one of the hardest things to do is when my friend gets up there to be neutral and to ask that question. How are you doing with your bank account before you handle our $5,000? Right? And, yeah, but because it's eight traditional, so, man, it encompasses a whole lot of things, especially integrity. Integrity in this piece is like doing the right thing in spite of you. That's the hardest piece. When I'm sitting there and you're sitting beside me and I ask the question, the feeling that I get, because I really don't want to ask the question, I'm hoping that somebody else will, but it's going to be me because I know that you're bouncing checks. You know, because that's what affected them. And then they'll vote you in anyway. Then 5 months later, when $500 come up missing, you're going to say, dang, you did it again. But check this out. You can't hold that individual accountable because it says it right here. It says the most important resource contributed to the service structure by an NA group is almost exclusively spiritual. It's idols and it's conscious. Without the voice of the groups, the service structure may not know what kinds of services are needed and whether... That's not it. Okay, where is it? Well, anyway. It talks about accountability. I thought it was right there, but because what happened is, I'm gonna give you a good example. Is we have a where they had the dances and all this other stuff, and the chairperson for that committee has a treasurer separately that's not accountable to the area. Telling you, it goes on a lot of places. You have a chairperson, right? That holds all these functions all year round. They put out a calendar and all this other stuff. That treasurer is not held directly accountable to the area that it serves. The chairperson is. And I wish that somewhere along the line, all the groups everywhere that would take a look at this, right, and actually have that treasurer be voted in separately from the chairperson position. Because what happens is one guy relapsed and he spent all the money. So now what you're going to do, they talk about bringing him up on charges and all this other stuff, but guess what? We asked the question when we put him in the position. Then when I went to a sponsor and said something to him, because I actually went and asked him, right, you need to say something to him because he relapsed, right? And he said he went and talked to him. He said everything was just fine. Okay, everything is fine because they need more money in the bank. Now when they get to area, now everybody went crucified. But guess what? We're directly accountable. Because we don't do an inventory of the process. We don't make sure that all the money that's... We're not being very prudent. Because now I got somebody that's handling our money that's not held accountable to none of us. To nobody. But his word. And most of the people that are sitting there don't even know who he is. And it's a very... sensitive position, because what happens is now it puts a bad light on all of the people that are sitting there. But they don't view it that way because they want to just point the finger at him. And as I keep coming back, man, and I'd like to thank Thomas for sharing for me. A lot of times, man, what I feel and what I say don't match, especially being in service. And that's one of the hardest pieces, man, when you're in service. Because what I believe sometimes is the best course to take might not be the conscience of the group. And it becomes a conflict inside, but I keep doing it anyway, because only to find out later on it wasn't about me anyway. The picture is way bigger than anything that I could ever paint. And as I keep coming back, I just keep getting the service, because the more I serve, the more things happen for me as a result of it. Because what happens is, especially in service, right, my old ideals and old beliefs comes in a direct conflict with the new way of life that I'm living, and I get to change some things deep inside of me that I can't do no other way. That's what service does for me. It teaches me how to get into healthy relationships like I've never been able to get into them before. Because now I'm taking a serious look at, you know, who I really am. Because a lot of that you don't get to see. You only get to see the surface stuff. But when I experience stuff directly, right, that's when that old belief and the new way of life come into direct conflict, and that's when true change happens for me. And not only do I found that out in service, I found that out when, because I take that home. Because I ran a dictatorship at home. Yeah, because nobody had an opinion but me. And because it was either going to be how I wanted it to get done, or and then getting in service, right, and getting angry at some new people, because you get an opportunity to tell me, yo, man, you need to shut up, man. Because that ain't the best course to take. And I just get angry. And then the part that really pissed me off, you told me, keep coming back. Keep coming back. I didn't get that. I had to keep coming back to understand that I didn't know how to be in healthy relationships. And then being in service helps me to get in healthy relationships and stay in them. And thanks for letting me share.
I'd like to thank the speakers for sharing their experience, strength, and hope.